This is a meeting of the Pulling Conduit Commission. Before you are Stephen Lankowski, City Electrician, Jan Naranjan, Acting Superintendent of Streets, and myself, Nicole Moratti-Fetter, the Chair. It is approximately 10:02 a.m., and we are audio recording this meeting. Are there any residents here that want to speak on any petition? Any residents? Okay, so we'll get started with number one, I guess.
Yep.
I guess the first one is the consideration of the August minutes. Does everyone read them?
I believe Liz sent them out, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yep.
Approved?
Second.
All right.
Yeah. Nicole?
Granted. Give me 1 second. All right. Okay, so August minutes approved. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
The owner of 4244 Spinelli, can we be heard first?
Yes, that's the reason why we asked.
Okay.
That's part of the last petition, I think.
It's number 23.
23. Huh? Almost
the last. Almost the last petition. Okay, so petition number 23, this is a new petition from NSTAR DBA Eversource for Spinelli Way northerly from manhole 3036, approximately 368 feet north of Concord Avenue, a total distance of about 330 feet of conduit. This work is necessary to supply power to 32-44 Spinelli Way. And good afternoon. Good morning. Sorry. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Rick Schifoni, S-C-H-I-F-O-N-E, representing Eversource Electric.
Thank you.
Joseph Sultan, S-U-L-T-A-N, ownership.
Ownership of Spinelli Way?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Susan Barroso, B-A-R-R-O-S-O. Eversource.
Thank you.
Jonathan Lavash, L-A-V as in Victor, A-S-H, with the ownership.
Without pardon?
With the ownership of 4244.
Okay. Alright, thank you.
So you put the station in there?
No, we put a PM9 switch and the transformer.
You're pulling a transformer and a what?
And a PM9 switch.
Was it the site plan? Was it shown on the site plan when the original release submitted to DPW for review?
It was shown on the site plan. The original one, don't know if we put the vault on there, but I believe it's on there.
Did you put the excavation, actually the trench going from manhole to all the way to the building?
In the plumbing, site plan, the excavation in Spinelli Place would not show that's Eversource's work, not the work of the...
That's on the Spinelli.
Right.
The city property I'm asking about, because that probably need to be mill and overlay kept, because we'll probably ask Eversource to do that if it's not developers going to do it, because you already have several cuts on our street.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably will ask them to do mill and overlay curb to curb.
Just in the trench, not in the whole width of the...
No. Curb to curb. Yeah, I need to look at it, because they already have several cuts in our street.
Okay. Eversource has given the owner a back charge estimate already for the work, so I'm not sure if that's included.
That wouldn't normally be included up front, as far as we would have included a patch on it, but we can go back and regroup on that as far as of us with the ownership of what, if there's going to be some extras on Spinelli Place.
Yes.
Okay. We can talk about that.
Yeah,
that shouldn't affect the city, as far as, well, it'll affect us when we go for our dig permits in the that end of the business, but as far as what we do internally to resolve the issue of the extra paving, we'll take care of it.
Thanks.
Okay, so make a motion to approve with typical conditions. and meetings with Public Works to resolve the paving issues. And utility permits and anything else covered under typical conditions.
Okay, second.
All those in favor? Yes.
I have it.
Ms. Barroso?
Yes.
Just as a reminder that the application changed over a year ago, so you guys should be submitting it with a new application with us. And also, we are moving to the online system. That should go live by next meeting. So since you guys seem to be super behind the ball, get on it.
Online submissions to the grant location request?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll talk to Jackie and Dana right now about the submittal of those.
Okay. Yeah, I think last time Jackie had represented that the account would be under her name, but I just want to bring that to your attention. Okay?
Okay, so we on the Tuesday before, we won't be bringing petitions down. It'll be all electronic?
We'll send out an email to everyone, but yes, it should be live by the time that you're submitting your applications for next month.
Okay, and then, okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, Enstar DBA Eversource for Putnam Avenue at and westerly at the intersection of Sydney Street, a distance of about 2,448 feet, conduit and installation of 6 manholes. 622, 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27. This work is necessary to supply power to 50 and 60 Albany Street and MIT Kendall Square and Site 3. Good morning. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Donald Grossman, G-R-O-S-S-M-A-N. I live and work at 179 Sydney Street.
Okay, thank you. You're next.
Rick Schifoni, representing Eversource Electric.
Thank you.
Susan Barroso, B-A-R-R-O-S-O, Eversource.
Thank you. Why don't we have Eversource present, and then Mr. Grossman, you can tell us your concern.
Okay.
Great.
So I believe right now we are petitioned from Station 831 to the intersection of Sydney and Putnam Street. I don't think we are going to be digging Sydney at this time. So I'm not sure where.
Yeah, we had conversed through email.
Yeah.
This is a portion of a larger job that's ready at this point, the Putnam end of the job, until we resolve the rest of the route, which will most likely be going up Sydney Street for a while.
Yeah.
You had a concern about some of the overhead wires in the area?
Yeah, so should I speak now?
Go ahead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, just, I understand this phase one is not directly relevant, except to the extent that my concern is that the overhead wires in the Sydney, Erie street area, and I sent an email this morning. Unfortunately, I had a holiday yesterday and wasn't able to get it out before then, but I sent an email to the commission expressing my concerns that it seems prudent to seriously consider undergrounding the wires that go up Sydney and across Erie at this time, and maybe maybe there's no need to bring additional conduit in along Putnam Ave in order to do that, because the sourcing for that area is already either overhead or underground. But I didn't want to, sit here and come in at phase two and you having to say that it's too late, we should have, added 3 conduits. The marginal cost of adding conduit in this project and making it underground seems to be relatively small given the overall cost. So given that you're doing it anyway, probably to tie in MIT's central utility plan, cogeneration, which makes great sense to, tie that more tightly into the network. About a month and a half ago, there was an emergency pole repair in our area. They shut down power without notice to my building, hardship to my tenant. I don't know whether there was a failure in the notification system, but we never got notice, and it was on a Sunday night, and it was for a tilting pole. Poles don't tilt that quickly, perilously. I sent in my letter pictures of other poles in the area. The above ground utilities are overloaded and compromised. So my concern is just to raise this point early in this process so that nothing that's done at this juncture precludes the undergrounding of at least Eversource's, you know, network through up Sydney Street and across Erie Street. And, there's the pole that's at the corner of the intersection of Sydney and Erie has probably 10 or 12 splices off it for various utilities. It looks like something that, you know, Alexander Graham Bell or Thomas Edison would sit there and go, I know that. So that was the point that I wanted to raise, and that's all. I am supportive of MIT and supportive of, you know, Eversource doing this work, but not given that the disruption is going to be suffered anyway, given that most of the expense is going to be suffered anyway, given that practically every other commercial area similar to ours already has had its utilities undergrounded, given that most of the businesses in the area already bring in all of their utilities down a pole and then underground, so that issue of, you know, traversing the private property is kind of moot for the majority of infrastructure in this area, I wanted to raise it at this juncture. So.
Yeah, and I did receive your email with a picture of the pole, and I did talk to our lead engineer out of the Somerville area. And this circuit that we're bringing down there for the MIT is a separate circuit from the circuit that you're on, and that overhead line is already on. This is
absolutely. I'm just saying, as long as you're digging and bring, you know, it's going to go along the same right of ways ultimately if it's brought underground. So why not bring it underground at the time of this work?
I am calling for extra conduits to be installed, not to do this overhead project at all, but in the future, I guess, if it's something that's necessary, we already have the extra conduits.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's many other utilities that are involved in putting the street underground, so everything that you see above would have to go underground, and all those costs are typically passed on to the property owners if they were to tie into the new underground. But space in the streets is tight. You're talking not only Eversource, telephone, and all the communication companies that are in there. So it's this trench would not, it would be, the expense to add all those utilities in that street would be quite marginal.
Quite marginal?
It's extremely expensive to underground.
And that would be at the cost of the residents.
Of the residents of the city as a whole, or of the residents in the particular area?
If the resident, all the residents in the area would have to agree to put all the utilities underground, and that they would have to share the cost.
But that's just the cost of their section from the right of way to their property, not the cost along the right of ways.
Well, the cost along the right of ways, depending on how it's undergrounded, does get. Eversource would do it, but it would have to be repaid for any undergrounding that's not. It's already an overhead area, so that's the extent of what it is right now, overhead. To go underground, there will be cost incurred beyond what we're doing here. And it's significant. There's not a lot of savings here that you're going to be able to reap to underground an existing overhead system.
Is this system funded by MIT? You're just solely doing it to MIT?
Yes. But we are putting extra conduits, so later on, we put in manholes and conduits, the extra conduits. So later on, if this comes up, we already have the conduit, maybe minor digging just to go from the poles on the intersections to the manholes.
So you could conceivably put your building and service underground.
Every building in the area comes down the pole and underground into the buildings already.
Well, I understand that, but your source is an overhead source instead of an underground source to hook up to an existing underground. So to be able to eliminate the pole, everything would have to come off the pole.
I understand that.
And then there's the cost of taking what's currently on the pole and getting it underground to the manhole in the public way.
Yeah, but, I mean, I've been before this group before when you can keep hanging and hanging stuff, but... I sent pictures of at least three poles that are leaning 20 or 30 degrees. You know, the reliability of that network in that area for high technology companies that depend both on power for their biotech And, you know, and that's another subject for another day, but it's a hardship for us to put in backup power given the noise limitations of, you know, 60 dBA in our neighborhood. It's almost impossible for me to, you know, not spend 2 or 3 years of electric utility expense to put in a backup power that meets that requirement. It's just it's just punitive. And I can't depend on, you know, when you're doing emergency repairs on a Sunday night because a pole is so compromised that it's falling down, I can't, you know, depend on your infrastructure. And, you know, if the network goes down, not only, you know, that's another factor. You put all your eggs in one basket, in one pole. If that pole at the corner of Sydney and Erie ever went down, you're taking out major infrastructure for the entire region. So,
Thank you. So, this is part of a larger project that we've talked about. Have you determined the total? Have you determined the rest of the route?
Yes, our survey folks have already surveyed it and are in the process of drawing up plans to most likely bring to next month's meeting to essentially go down Sydney Street to Erie, to Waverly Path, and then we have to work with MIT on Purrington Street. On my understanding is that we'll get an easement for Purrington Street to continue the loop down to Albany.
Okay. I've had some. Have you been in touch with Cambridge Water, the water department, in regards to any of this yet?
Our survey folks would have gone to the water department to pick up the utilities and stuff. But okay. I haven't personally.
Yeah, I don't think that water department reviewed the actual plan. So we haven't actually thoroughly reviewed this yet.
Yeah. Right. Reason why I asked, they saw the petition and they came to me to look, and they gave a considerable amount of notes for that project, which I can pass back off to you, but you should have your survey group get in touch with Steve Lush.
Okay.
I believe there's a 24-inch water main that goes down that path that may not have been, that no one may not have been aware of except for the water department.
Okay, yeah, because I think that's some of the obstacles we ran into in Albany Street. It was very congested with other utilities, so.
Yeah, that walkway, that they didn't think there was much of anything going down there, but there was a 24-inch water transmission line going down there.
Okay.
Right down, I believe it's right down the center. But,
yeah, actually, then that, because that's private. You're talking about Purrington?
No,
just on
the path.
The path?
Well, then it continues down Puritan also.
Yeah, all right, so it'll have to be, we'll have to capture both on there, even though the petition won't include the Purrington and the private end. It'll all have to be taken care of,
yes.
Shown.
Yeah, we're going to just section.
The Waverly path, yes, okay, yep.
Well, I think
we would like to actually do a lot of test bits, all the rules, okay. And we can actually approve just to do the test bits first to find whether you can find a corridor for this.
On which section?
On Putnam? Or?
Yes, Putnam, because you are actually putting 12 6-inch conduit, mm-hmm. Right? And also you are installing very large manholes.
Yeah, structures,
right?
No, 6x10x8.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all that, so we can approve a plan to do test beds, and actually then I can coordinate with the water department. Then we can find a corridor. We have already identified a corridor from 50 Albany all the way to Mass Ave. That took about 3 months of meetings just to find a corridor for that. So we're going to approve, we already approved that, right?
Well, would it be possible to get a conditional grant location for Putnam pending street opener permits with DPW to test pit to make sure what we're asking for will fit? That way there, once we dig them and it's available, we could actually install it without having to refill in the pit and have to dig it again, you know, once we determine we have space to get in there and not lose another month, at least on that section. But either way, I'm just thinking a little outside the box. The city still has complete control on whether or not we're going to go forward if there's not enough room. We wouldn't want to go forward if there's not enough room. You know, it's a waste of our time.
Well, we don't want you going halfway down Putnam Ave and then find you can't go any further either.
Yeah, and we would definitely, we wouldn't get a street opening permit to start installing unless we're down there. Okay.
And on top of that, we have a special conditions that all the streets need to be mill and overlay curb to curb, and all non-compliance ramps, handicap ramps, need to be reconstructed.
Even in sidewalks that we're not opening?
Every street you're going. When you mill and overlay, you have to actually make the ramps compliant, curb to curb. Plus, we're also looking for additional inspector for this. You know, hired by MIT, approved by the city. So the inspector has to be approved by the city, but hired by MIT.
Because that will change the scope of the scope between us and the customer of what's going to take to do this job.
Right.
Especially, obviously, the Pinnex ramps are going to be.
We'll spend a considerable amount of time inspecting that.
Well, there can be, the inspector is one thing that I'm the pedestrian ramps. Wasn't in the original.
I don't think many there. Mostly every one of them is reconstructed, but there's only a few. It's not many.
Just the ones that aren't currently up to code?
A few of them, not.
There's been quite a bit of work throughout this whole area. All the ramps are existing, but there are some that are not. Some that do not conform.
So. Yeah, I'll have to go back to the shop on that, and we'll just have to talk about it internally because there is a relatively high expense on redoing a pedestrian ramp. I understand.
But they have done that before, mm-hmm. The other Putnam jobs, going the other way.
So determining test fits, is that something that you would need to meet with, Public Works would need to meet with them? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, most likely it would be Matty Baines.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can coordinate.
So that work can continue. And then it could be brought back.
Okay.
Back with this. I think it's going to take a lot longer than. I mean, you're talking to start digging the street after within the test pits in the next 3 or 4 weeks. I don't think is going to.
Yeah, it's not going to. The overall scope, and by then we'll be coming back with the remainder of the path.
Yeah.
Which potentially could change depending on what we see out on the street.
Right. Correct. So we don't want. So between the test pits and the continue in the. Completion of your entire route, we'd like to see to make sure you can get, because you and I, or the city, we don't want to see a Putnam Ave being dug up to Sydney and taking a left and then stopping it and going in another direction.
Understood.
If you need to, so. So we'll make a motion to continue.
Second day.
So there'll be continuing meetings with Public Works and test pits, go forward with test pits, whatever else you need to get started on it anyways.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
So that's a motion to continue. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Now back to number two. This is a continuation of Comcast. This would continue to allow the commission to look further into the petition. The one for 1718 Mass Ave.
Morning, Tim Cortell, Comcast, Cortell.
So I understand this is a trespass issue?
Yes, I believe that Anthony spoke with Jay, and I think we're going to continue on this one for further discussion.
Yes, there's somebody, Mass Ave, that's still under moratorium because it's newly paved street. So that's why I didn't actually meet him on site. I'd like to meet him on site, see whether they can find an alternative route, or so I would like to continue. Find
us. Is Lancaster also moratorium or just Mass Ave?
Mass Ave.
Would it be an option to dig down the sidewalk and then up Lancaster Street?
I would have to have him review that.
Okay, so you want to? Okay, so motion to continue.
What was your comment? To Lancaster?
to remain on, not to disrupt Mass Ave where it's just been paved.
Okay.
And possibly get on the sidewalk, Mass Ave sidewalk to Lancaster and then up Lancaster. I believe that's where that's currently fed now anyways, that whole section. I don't know if you have anything down the other end of 1780. You might be able to come in the other way too, but
yeah, I think that.
Okay. So we'll make a motion to continue.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Also Comcast for 26 Lansdowne Street. To go from the Comcast manhole on Franklin Street, trench easterly, 47 feet to the private way, to the private property line of 26 Lansdowne Street, installing a 1-4-inch PVC conduit. This will include the removal and replacement of one sidewalk panel. Tim, I'm sorry, I don't think I got your last name properly, so can you do that for me?
C-O-R-T-H-E-L-L.
I definitely can do it.
Thank you.
Sorry. Just a small lateral for
from the last dig you just did.
The other petition. Yeah.
All right. So that's a motion to approve typical conditions also, permitting and so forth.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Also Comcast. 165 Putnam Avenue, place a new Comcast 3x3 manhole over existing underground conduit at 165 Putnam Avenue, trench 29 feet to the private property line of 165 Putnam Avenue, install 1 2-inch PVC conduit and 1 18x30 sidewalk vault. This will include the removal and replacement of one sidewalk panel.
Is the building being serviced now?
Yes, so it's serviced aerially to the west of 165 here. So the resident requested to place it underground. And we have existing services going down Putnam Ave, so we simply just intercept, place a manhole.
Okay. Rather have the handhole on the property, not in the sidewalk.
See if we can move that to
the
private property.
We'd rather move it on the private property, yeah, so there is not in the middle of the sidewalk.
To comply with ADA.
Yes.
So motion to approve with the change that it has to go on the private property?
Correct. So the handhole will go on private property at the property line, not in the sidewalk.
Does he just have to submit a revised plan to you as well?
We've marked it up. It'd be nice to have a revised plan also.
Okay. On
it. So that'd be a motion to approve with typical conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Comcast for 14 Pleasant Street from existing Comcast sidewalk vault trench 9 feet northerly to the private property line of 14 Pleasant Street, installing 1 2-inch PVC conduit. This will include the removal and replacement of 2 sidewalk panels.
So that handhold is existing?
In the
already
sidewalk.
Just putting it underground?
Correct.
The
just to service the deck.
The service. Motion to approve the typical conditions and permits.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Also Comcast at 85 First Street from pole 2 on Hurley Street, Trench Street, 37 feet northerly to the private property line of 85 First Street, installing 1 4-inch conduit. This will include the removal and replacement of one sidewalk panel.
That's that new building?
Yeah, it's currently under construction.
Yeah.
They haven't even started this project, so they're just starting it. So
yes,
you won't be coming here
probably
next
for
year.
A little bit. Yeah.
So
probably have to wait to
to 2019.
Just be aware that this will expire after 60 days unless you stop the work. So if it's going to go past 60 days, you need to submit a letter to us requesting an extension.
I'd have to have him speak with the construction or people in construction, see what their timeline is.
Yeah, they haven't even started the foundation, so it's going to be a 2-year project.
And I believe you get the steel. Is that the one with the steel up already?
I think they have some structure.
Yeah, the steel up.
Yeah.
There's no, I think it's on slab and the steel up right now.
Yeah, I think they started it a couple months ago.
Well, just be aware that if you go over the 60 days, you need to get an extension.
Okay.
And the city would also like to have space either in that 4-inch inner duct or a separate conduit to the same pole.
City shadow.
Yep.
Same size conduit that we would place? 1 4-inch?
No, for this particular, we just require a 2-inch.
You just require 2.
Or we could, or if you had an inner duct within the 4-inch, that's acceptable also.
Okay.
We just need means to get into that. So a motion to approve with adding the city conduit.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Anthony also mentioned, I don't know if the Holyoke Street was placed on the agenda.
It was, he did mention it. I think he wanted to submit a revised drawing. This was a previous petition that we gave an extension on.
Yep.
And that Comcast was not going to dig out to Mott Auburn.
Yeah, I guess BU?
Harvard.
Harvard had asked us to wait while their construction was being
yep.
done, and then it got pushed off for renovation, and then I guess now they wanted to start afterwards. So, but we do have revised drawings if you wanted to look at it.
I think it was more you were deleting the section going out to Mott Auburn Street, correct? And you were just going to continue with the petition.
Yes, one section is being removed, correct.
Yeah, you told me about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we just add this to that petition.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the drawing
this
as
one
the...
that just shows the existing, okay.
Yeah, they're eliminating
the one section.
They are not going to dig down into Mott Auburn, so it's just a revision for...
Okay, so this was the original one. Dana gave me this.
Yes.
The revised, okay.
Yeah. So,
that's the original.
3618 is the original.
Yeah. So, acknowledge and approve?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
That's just typical conditions of...
That would be regular permitting, yeah, through the original ground location.
Awesome. Thank you.
Traffic and Transportation Department for Broadway and Ellery Street, installing roughly 200 feet of conduit in the streets and sidewalks of Broadway and Ellery for new traffic signals. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning.
Please state your name for the record.
Dana Benjamin, Benjamin.
Thank you.
So there's nothing existing in that intersection, right?
No. No, I think we used to have a flasher there
overhead.
Years ago. Exactly.
It was overhead flasher, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there'd be a motion to approve with typical conditions, permitting, and site meetings with Public Works.
Sounds good.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sorry.
also Cambridge Traffic and Park, for 143 Main Street to install roughly 230 feet of conduit in the street and sidewalk in front of 143 Main Street to energize the new traffic signal.
You already installed that, right?
Mass DOT installed it without me knowing. Yes.
I think there's a question for Eversource on that same installation. That's, I believe the conduit's already been installed, the service conduit.
I know almost everything has been installed already. I can't say for the service conduit.
Yeah.
I think they're temping it out right now.
Yeah. I think the only question being was this supposed to be a handhole prior to their manhole.
Okay.
Near the cabinet. So in other words, they come out of your, correct me if I'm wrong, you come out of the, their manhole because they own the conduit to a handhole.
Yep.
And then from the handhole to the meter socket.
Okay.
So that there should be a handhole installed there, if there isn't one already.
I can let them know.
That would have been the only thing holding up, because the contractor should only need to go to the handhole.
Okay.
In the future, they should
right.
contract with Eversource to do their part of that work.
Okay.
Right. What happened? We don't see it. We didn't have a handhole.
I believe Eversource will require a handhole, correct?
Yes, you do.
So they shouldn't connect it without the handhole. It means a disconnect right next to the meter socket.
Okay.
Granted, with all typical conditions and installation of handhole, the bone isn't there yet.
Correct. Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Cambridge Department of Public Works for Broadway Main Street install electrical conduit in Broadway Main Street median to support installation of convenience receptacles for seasonal lighting, illuminated bollards at new pedestrian crosswalk, and irrigation system for median landscaping. Construction to be performed by MassDOT as part of Longfellow Bridge Project. Conduit and all systems described will be owned and maintained by City of Cambridge following completion of construction by MassDOT.
I believe all this has been installed also.
Correct.
Yes, so this is mostly for record purposes. I think it was R.H. White did the work?
J.F. White.
J.F.
White. Skanska, but I think J.F. White
yeah.
did the actual work.
Yeah. This is all conduit the city will assume and all after it's been accepted. Okay, so motion to approve.
Second, and we do have a question whether there's no fee because this is DPW, yes, correct, no fee on this.
There would be no fee, I believe, no fee on a city job, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Correct. Okay, so motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
Sure.
We have Verizon for Cambridge Park Drive, place 6 feet of 2 by 4 inch conduit from existing manhole 26595 northerly to the property line.
Good morning. My name is Bill Wallace, W-A-L-L-A-C-E.
Thank you.
Just a breakout into the manhole, 6 feet to the property line. It's actually almost in within their scope of work out there as far as where the manhole is associated with their property. It's kind of behind the fence, if you were out there, the construction fence, it's
yeah.
up. It's
yeah.
part of that.
So, would one of the 4 inch be for the city?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so one is for
to go
Verizon,
to the
second one would be for the city?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I made a note to myself to follow up on that based upon another petition.
Right. Okay, the motion to approve with the, for the 2 4-inch conduits, one being for the city. With all typical conditions.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Mr. Wallace, just I think you heard me say it to Eversource, but we did change our applications about a year ago, and we're also now going online. So when you get the notification from Dana, please get on it.
Okay.
Thank
nice.
You. The next next one is light tower for Thorndike and Fulkerson Streets, installation of, oh, this is a continuation, I'm sorry, from May 17, 2018. There was a need to review the roof, and also it was tabled until Sprint submitted the petition for a conduit. So can we call Sprint as well?
Yes, I got in touch with Sprint, and they're supposed to be here. I believe.
Can you give us your name first, please?
Hi, good morning. My name is Roman Rusin, last name Rusin, R-U-S-I-N.
And Roman is R-O-M-I-N, right?
Correct.
Oh, M-A-N.
A-N, yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, Sprint is SAC Wireless, is that who it is?
SAC Wireless, yeah, that's the contractor for Sprint. Representing.
Okay. Michael Graff. Okay, so he's not here. We have a petition here. Do you want to give this a second call? Or do you?
Yeah.
We have Thorndike is under construction. So yep. We have about 3 weeks we're going to pay this. So
we
went aerial solution. I submit you aerial plans. And we're working right now with utilities. We did three-party work we basically filed for licensing from the other utilities companies.
Correct. I believe we continued this. You submitted the aerial route.
Correct. And Sprint's supposed to submit, and I believe Sprint get in touch with you, and they put under one petition, and they submitted Sprint's from Paul 37, which is so-called Mickey Point, into the building, which is covering portion of the public right-of-way.
Correct. So the original route was from Fulkerson underground.
Correct.
Down Thorndike into the building, yeah. And that was asked to go overhead, which you did go overhead to that same pole.
Yeah.
And then you needed rights to get in the building from that pole.
Right, and as I mentioned earlier, that our responsibility to bring a service to Pole 37, from Pole 37 into the building, Sprint is responsible for the section of the underground route, and since the conduit, existing conduit where they had a right is clogged or filled, so they have to dig, and I believe they submit a civil plan for trench permits. That's as far as I know.
Yeah, so Sprint is to, from the light tower manhole on Thorndike Street, install 60 feet of 3-inch PVC underground conduit eastward down the sidewalk, then north to meet the point of entry at the building at 25 8th Street. That's what they submitted.
You got all your attachment licenses for the overhead to that pole?
We're working on it. It's in process. We just recently did a three-party walk, so now it's in the make-ready status.
Okay. So we're still waiting on Sprint. Because I think we asked to hear these both together.
Correct.
I mean, the petition's here, we can certainly give it a second call and have Dana call Michael Graff while we hear other stuff and
okay.
Then call it back. So if you can just take a seat back, we'll just give your matter a second call.
Okay, thank you.
And then, excuse me for a moment, I'll take this to the seat.
I believe so, yeah.
13, which is also light tower for 399 Binney Street, starting at electric manhole 131 on Binney and install 6 foot.
Plus or minus a 1/4-inch communication conduit.
Thank you.
Okay.
To propose 14x19 Crown Castle manhole and continuing 8 feet to private property communication manhole. Did we just lose Roman? This is also wrong.
I don't believe
this
it.
Is Bob
no,
Walls.
This is Bob Walls.
Bob Walls?
I'm here.
Oh, so you're presenting for Bob as well?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Did you say 99 Buick?
Yes.
Sorry, please.
That's okay. So
take your breath.
Gambit.
No, that's second.
Hi. Good morning, everybody, again.
So you're looking to come out of the electric manhole?
Correct.
Put a handhole and then into the, on private property from there?
Correct. It's all on the sidewalk. We have all Eversource breakout letter. We receive confirmation from the customer. The town has permission to dig into the manhole.
Do we have a copy of that breakout letter from Eversource?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, you have a copy.
Yes.
Should we keep this copy or do you need
it? I have some files, so you can have it.
So the only thing that I would ask that handhole also be on private property. So just go off the sidewalk, back of, just install it back of sidewalk.
Yeah, I will place a recommendation to move the handhole on the private property.
Correct. I'm it's probably up to just move it over a couple of feet, but we'd rather keep it off the sidewalk.
Okay.
So that'd be a motion to approve with putting the handhole on private property just at the back of the sidewalk with typical conditions and permits.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So for the second call, how long they should wait?
Well, I have Dana calling the gentleman to see if he's going to show up, so I'm hoping that Dana will come down shortly and tell us what's going on.
Okay, thank you.
Okay? Thank you. Petition number 14 from Karen Keffel was removed or tabled by the petitioner, so we're moving on to number 15. Massachusetts Institute of Technology, 189 Vassar Street, installed 4 new 5-inch PVC conduits encased in concrete to existing manhole 25. Conduits will feed new site at 189 Vassar Street. Manhole 25 is located at the southernmost side of it. Street will be excavated north approximately 20 feet to the new job site. Abutters are the same as the new project, and the work is to be done by State Electric. Good morning. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Jim Guiry, G-U-I-R-Y, with Walsh Brothers, representing
G-U-I-R-Y.
MIT.
I'm really slow today.
G-U-I-R-Y.
Thank you.
Representing Walsh Brothers and MIT.
Thank you.
Luke Reviz, R-E-B-I-S-Z, representing State Electric.
And Steve Britko, B-R-I-T-K-O, representing W.L. French Excavating.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm looking at them, so.
Yes, no issue.
Okay. Okay, I have a motion to approve with typical conditions, and you're working with DPW, aren't you?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so I make a motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next one is from Cambridge Network Solutions for Fulkerson and Bent Street, proposing to place approximately 2,700 feet of fiber optic cable in existing Eversource conduits, starting at or near Fulkerson Street at 320 Bent Street, easterly along Vinnie Street towards 2nd Street, and ending at or near 215 1st Street. Fiber placement to provide service to a customer at 215 1st Street.
Good morning. Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, Harrington, H-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. The request is to utilize existing Eversource conduit. Cambridge Network Solutions has an agreement with Eversource to lease both aerial space and underground pole conduit, underground conduit. This is going to be a two-phase approach. The first request is to ask permission to lease the conduit from Eversource from the Pole and Conduit Commission. And then we would like to come back in October and excavate from the manhole that you see on the drawing that says MHC9999, which is a communication manhole where Eversource uses to hand off to communication companies already, and to trench over to a trench that we have on Binney Street. And then the purpose of that will be to connect to our network overall. And in that, we're proposing to install 4 1¼-inch ducts, of which one of them will become the city's 1¼-inch conduit. But specifically for this request, we are simply asking the ability to lease the pathway from Eversource. Mm-hmm.
So that the manhole MHC9999, that's not installed yet.
It is. That's already been existing for other projects, and it's in the sidewalk. What our proposal to Eversource will be to attach to that manhole, so we're not going into an electric manhole.
Okay, so that's an Eversource manhole right
yes.
now.
Yes.
And there's nothing in it but communications?
Yes, that's right. And to our point, I've not seen it, but yep. Based on our survey work, that's what it says.
Okay, so you're asking permission to get all your lease agreements and making sure there's space in this entire route for us?
That's correct. Okay. And then once we have the license, we'll come back, present the license, as well as
the
present the ability
right?
to dig the excavation.
Okay. So we'll make a motion to continue so you can obtain your license and path to Eversource's manholes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the motion to continue.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next one is Town Castle for 392 Franklin Street. This eligible facilities request involves an effort to co-locate transmission equipment at an existing base station within a public right-of-way, 392 Franklin Street. There's a proposal to replace the existing shroud with a new 70 by 20 by 18 shroud and the existing 24 by 14.5 antenna with a new 24 by 15. Good morning. Could you please state and spell your
names
for the record?
Good morning. My name is Joe Shannon, J-O-E-S-H-A-N-N-O-N.
Mm-hmm. Amanda Cornwall, C-O-R-N-W-A-L-L.
Thank you.
And these are the first, we've brought 6 applications before the commission this morning. These are the first 6 in the in a new project that we're going to be working on. I may share some maps to kind of give you guys an overview so you'll know what we're doing and what you can expect over the next bunch of months. These are all existing locations that we're going to be doing very similar upgrades to. We're going to be adding Sprint onto these locations, and it requires a larger antenna and a larger shroud. At none of the node locations, we're going to require any new digging, any new fiber, any new power. There's already sufficient fiber and power there. So this is all just a changing the equipment that's already on the pole. And right off the bat, I'm going to apologize that I have a problem with my notice on 2 of the 6. So I'm going to ask for a continuation on number 21 and 22. But we can go right to 392 Franklin. And this is an example. All of these upgrades are going to fall into one of two different categories. It's either a pole top antenna or a comm zone antenna. This is a comm zone example at 392 Franklin. And what that means is that the antenna is going to be changed, but it's going to remain the same size, and we're just going to be increasing the size of the shroud so that we can include the Sprint radios. And this is going to do, this is part of a broader network upgrade that we're working on as well. It's going to, we've had some noise issues because of the fans that are running, and this is going to help to, this better shroud is going to make that better also. It's got some noise baffling technology and better ventilation.
So when you change your equipment on a pole, do you have to go through the make-ready process to make sure there's enough room and nothing else needs to be moved while you're extending that up?
For the
shroud or the antenna?
We do it at the design phase, and the utilities have already approved everything.
So on this first one here for 392 Franklin Street.
Yes. So in this example, this is one of the, like I said, this is the comm zone antenna.
Yep.
It's weaker than the pole top. It's not an ideal solution. Everybody's a little bit more disappointed with the smaller antenna. But that antenna is in the comm zone because of the wires that are up on top. And I'm sorry, the antenna is in the comm zone because we can't install a pole top on this type of pole. And again, we couldn't put the larger antenna there for the same reasons. We wouldn't have the clearance that we need.
All right. Well, this particular location, this pole is going to need to be changed before you add any equipment to it. It's leaning even further than it is right now. As you can see, it's leaning now. They got outriggers on the top, and I wouldn't approve anything else being put on that pole unless it's straightened out and repaired. That's leaning almost 30 degrees at this point. That is an Eversource set area. It's a joint owned pole by both Verizon and Eversource, but I believe it's the Eversource set area. So once the new pole is set, or if they're going to straighten this one, if it's a double pole, everything needs to be gone, including the double pole, before the new equipment can be moved over onto it.
Okay.
We'll continue.
Yeah, I would say I would motion to continue that until you can verify that pole is either going to be replaced. It needs to be replaced. I would absolutely require, if you take a look at it, it's listening even further over to one side. So I'd make a motion to continue on 392 Franklin.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Yeah. Next one, also Crown Castle for 25 Granite Street.
So these all being pretty similar.
So this is an example of the pole top installation.
Yep.
This is the preferable solution. No new power, no new fiber, but larger shroud and larger antenna.
So these are pretty much identical to what you have out there, but just longer.
Exactly.
Yep. And you feel as though that the new shrouding will eliminate the issues that we've had with noise from the fans?
Eliminate's a strong word. We're going to do everything we can to make it better. We can remotely bring the fans down, which we've done a couple of times. Heat waves are going to cause some noise. What this is going to do is it's going to separate the radios that are in there, so it's going to be less, they're going to be, you know, it's going to cause less heat among the package. And it's also, this has better ventilation and some noise baffling.
So now you'll have two fans?
There are already two fans in there. The ones we're installing now don't have a fan.
Okay.
So the Sprint ones do not have a fan. And that'll leave you an open slot because there are four, they can hold four carriers?
Yes.
So residents call you, or if it's
unfortunately,
you?
Residents
no,
call.
Unfortunately, they
residents call you all,
and then Andrea calls him, and then if they don't resolve it, then we call them in for a hearing.
We try to we do everything we can to resolve it as quickly as possible.
So now you can remotely control the fan, you say? Is that right?
Not remotely, though. You physically go to the location, correct?
We do both. We can remotely lower the fan to a certain degree remotely, and then we go to the location. We usually clean it out. If there's anything damaged, we can make it better. All of that makes everything better. Again, this is hoping to move us in a much better direction. On the total, you know, this has much better shroud than what's out there now.
No solution, right? So when you actually remotely reduce the noise, then you call back license commission and tell them that you have actually reduced the noise?
I try to keep Ms. Boyer informed of everything we do every step of the way, so that she's also responding to neighbors on a very regular basis. So she calls me. I tell her exactly what we're doing. If we send somebody out, she can tell the neighbor that somebody will be out there working on it when they'll be out there working on it.
I would vote to grant.
So we have a motion to approve. The only thing I would mention that you do when you're swapping these out, everything needs to go back to Eversource's standards for DAS locations.
What's that?
That you have to conform to all of the installations by Eversource requirements. So whatever the last issue I had was 08. I don't know if it's the same one.
There's an updated one, I believe.
This is the one that you would have went by on the initial installation,
yep.
But the new installations need to also conform to this. So that would be a motion to approve, and they will also need a utility permit from the electrical department. You won't need the meetings with Public Works, just a utility permit from my office. And the same... I don't know that the 60-day...
One by one.
No, that the 60-day... does this still conform to a 60-day?
Yeah.
Okay, so you need to do it within 60 days or send a letter asking for an extension.
Great.
Okay, so...
On that motion,
the grant to conform to NSER DAS requirements to get a utility permit and to complete swap within 60 days.
Unless notified.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you use a boom truck for that? What do you use?
We do. We use.
You still have. Then they need them to keep it up if they want to use boom truck.
Yeah. If you're going to take out, I think they call it a crane permit.
Yeah.
Okay. And crane permit. Okay.
So in that motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. No, they do this. You do this during regular hours. Yeah, no noise variance for this.
I'm sorry. Some of these... we're confirming with the carriers that are on there right now about when we can do the work. We're going to have to turn the antenna off when we replace it, obviously. So we're still working around schedules around when they're going to permit us to do the work. So if we...
Okay, so if it's any time after 6 p.m.,
okay.
You must submit a request for a special variance with the license commission. That has to be with a notification to abutters at least 7 days before the proposed date. We ask that the application and the notice be done at least 14 days before so that the board can vote on it with enough time to conform to the open meeting law. So that's if it's going to be after 6 p.m. on any day. If you're going to do this on a Sunday, you must also have a Sunday work permit from the Cambridge Police Department. And if you're going to do it before 7 a.m. on a weekday, you also need it. And if you're going to do it before 9 a.m. on a weekend, you also need it.
I think we need to be working with our customers to convince them to let us do it during the day.
I also agree.
We'll do what we can.
Next one's also...
I'm sorry, so that's, we need to, it's a special variance with the committee?
Special variance
for
the license commission, yeah.
Got it.
Next castle for 287 Albany Street.
So this is like the first, this is the comm zone style pole. Mm-hmm. So the antenna will be the same size and the shroud will be larger.
Okay, motion to approve with same conditions as previously noted.
Yep. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next one is Crown Castle for 67 Sharp Street.
Grant.
Oh my God. Yep. Listen, I'm not here today. I told you this at the beginning of the meeting.
I'm not sure the scope of your jurisdiction reaches
Grant.
To Hingham.
All right.
So this is a pole top example. Similar to the ones we've looked at. Bigger antenna, bigger shroud on the existing pole, no new power, no new fiber.
I motion to approve with the same as previous petitions as far as conditions.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
And then for these last two, again, like I mentioned at the beginning, we noticed an error with the with our notification. We think we notified the right universe of people, but we misidentified the pole location. So we'd like to give that another go and bring it back in October.
All right, sounds good. So the other two, so you'll withdraw these two, or are you, you're not changing anything to the petition, you're just giving proper notice?
It's the letter identifies the pole, and the address we use is the assessor's address rather than the address where the pole is actually, you know, the building behind the pole is not at the right address where the pole actually, to reflect where the pole actually is, if that makes any sense at all.
No. So if the pole is on Grant Street, but the building that it's next to, say, is on A Street, we identified the pole location as A Street, because that's where the front door is. But we still notified that same, the proper people.
The pole is right here.
Mm-hmm.
But we identified it as Dunster because that's Dunster. So
okay.
We identified it as South Street.
The pole is actually on South Street. So if anybody were to go to 69 Dunster Street,
they wouldn't see it.
Right.
Correct. Okay.
And the same as well for the next petition. The property borders the block of 240 Green Street, but the pole is actually on Franklin Street.
Okay. All right.
I just wanted to ask about 69 Dunster Street.
If you can identify yourself,
sure.
That would be great.
Sarah Burke with the Historical Commission, B-U-R-K-S. 69 Dunster, or the South Street location, is the only one that's located in the Harvard Square Conservation District, which is one of our four protected districts in the city. So I would just encourage Crown Castle to at least confer with commission staff about whether an application is required.
Will do. Absolutely will do. Should we come back? We can try to parallel path next month then? Great.
I would contact
them
whatever information they would like or application that they would require for South Street. I think on the initial installation on South Street, I think I did see something. So you may have something on record now. Were they changing the size and shape? Would they have to reapply?
I need to look back and see what we said on the initial, but I think we reviewed it just at the staff level and we didn't have a hearing.
Okay. We'll be in touch.
Okay,
Thank you. All right, thank you all.
Sure. So that being said, so these two petitions, 21 and 22, are being continued for clarification?
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. Are we continuing them or are they withdrawing them at this point and then going to resubmit with proper? I was trying to see if, I understand that in the letter you identified it wrong. I'm wondering if in the petition you also identified it wrong.
That's a good point. I think we probably did.
Yeah.
I think we should withdraw both of these, or they should withdraw both of these and then just refile.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the motion to withdraw 21 and 22.
Yeah. And then with regard to 21, which is the one for 69 Dunster Street, to just go to
Historical
Commission first and resolve whatever issues there first prior to resubmitting it is what I would suggest.
It sounds good to me.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, No, hold on one second before we go to Eversource. Michael Graff of Sprint said he was under the impression that Light Tower represent both utilities because it is similar work. So I leave it up to you guys in terms of whether we want Roman to speak, or did you have specific questions for Sprint?
I think it's gone on for...
Okay, even, Roman, come on, please.
I think Roman knows more about it than Sprint might know about it.
Thank you for all confidence in me.
So we are back to petitions 11 and 12 for Thorndike and Fulkerson.
So if we can, why don't we can hear 11 first, and that was for the overhead installation. Okay. And I think we can, I think you were still waiting for licensing.
Utility licenses, yes, we already moved forward.
I can make a motion to approve this, pending licensing being forwarded to...
To us?
Yeah. So licensing.
Ariel, okay.
Prior to the work, of course. So once you obtain your license and forward it to the license commission.
Will do.
Okay. It won't require any site meetings, just any permitting to block streets, if you need to block streets or anything. They're all typical obstruction permits. So a motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. So on the next one.
Okay. This one was submitted by SAC Wireless for Thorndike and 8th Cement. We had stated before this is for underground conduits.
So from that poll, it doesn't really say where they're going to be installing this conduit. You're going right on the private property?
Correct.
Right at the pole, or are you going down the sidewalk?
It's asking
for 60 feet of 3-inch PVC, but it doesn't really show where it's going to go. I know you want to get into the building from that pole.
Yeah, probably as the pole is off center from the property, so we're gonna go 60 feet on the eastward on the sidewalk, and after we're gonna penetrate, we're gonna go on the private property.
Okay.
And it's I believe it's a Section 8 or Housing Authority, Cambridge Housing Authority.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't know if I had that. Maybe I didn't notice it. Okay. Okay, yeah, I got that. So you are requesting to go down the sidewalk?
Yeah.
And then in the building?
Yeah, sidewalk probably newly placed, so we might have to ask you to go
straight.
Yes.
Straight?
In the street?
Street. On the street?
Yeah. Okay. Rather than go down the sidewalk, need to go on the street. It's been the bind is down now, correct?
Correct, yes.
And when is paving, final paving?
In 3 weeks' time.
3 weeks' time.
But I can't understand why you can't go straight also. Now you mentioned when I said street, you said straight. So why can't you go straight?
I can ask Brent representative, but I think I don't see any obstacles here.
I don't know why.
Yeah, you should be able to just go straight into the private property.
One thing what I would think of, if you're gonna go in, we were gonna be on the abundant private property, so that's why we're kind of moving forward, going along the sidewalk to be lined up with the 25 A Street private property.
I could meet. Doesn't say the property line. That's what it says, right?
That's one thing. Yeah, most logical thing to grab the public right away as soon as possible to create less disturbance. So,
I could meet them on site, try and find out, and we can approve it condition that they find the shortest route.
Yeah.
Can we say that? Or the Thorndike, they're going to pave in 3 weeks.
Okay,
so I wanted to get you out of
the way. I would rather than go from the pole straight in, it's only 4 feet, and then let them dig on private property into the building.
Right.
So we would like to meet on the field? Okay.
Set it up.
Okay.
If they go the route that you're proposing, Steve, then they then the issue of the paving of the street is no longer an issue, correct?
Correct.
So do we want to continue?
When are we going to do the work, the digging?
Digging, if it's not, we not hold up any like, you know, you're saying you'll be planning 3 weeks to pave the street, right? So it's not going to obstruct. We would like to do in one scope, but we can do a civil plan dig sooner with your approval.
Can approve it pending that after the site meeting they can give you a revised drawing.
So well, you'd be okay with them in the street as long as they do it before they pave.
Right.
Or
and we would but we would rather go from the pole straight into the property, not on private property.
In that case, we're not going to be under stress to do within 3 weeks because the street is paved.
But the plan right now is sidewalk, so we'd have to make the change now. I just want to make it really clear that we, the board, would have to condition it at a different route because, no offense to Mr. Roman here, he's not a Sprint representative, so he can't agree to change their plan.
Mm-hmm.
We would have to do it at the condition of the grant if we're granting it today.
So you say go here?
Yeah, and then on private property, yeah.
Then it's only just one panel.
Yes. Yes.
We agree. We can agree to this. Just tell one panel and go to the private property.
We're agreeing for Sprint.
Yeah.
Who's not here.
Yeah. Yes. It's on them for not showing up.
Right.
That's also on them.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, when you go to the site visit, if you think you find a better route than the one that Steve just proposed, I mean, I don't know. So that's why I said, you know, should we continue while you go on the site? Because even if you do the site visit and the agreement is to do the 4 feet and just replace that one sidewalk and then go straight to private property, you know, that's it.
Yeah. They can do it even, they don't have to wait 3 weeks. If it works, you can do it any time, even after they pay.
Unfortunately, sir, I cannot speak
right.
on the spring.
Right, I'm yeah. saying, yeah. I'm
so,
yeah,
no. so, all right, so then we... I'd say we continue it.
I say we continue it and we tell Sprint that they have to do a site visit with DPW before the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to show up to the next meeting. They submit a petition, they have to show up. Unless they give Mr. Roman here
authority.
Yes. Authority.
Got it.
Okay.
So the motion to continue.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
So I just want to conclude, I approved aerial license, aerial test.
The aerial's been approved pending licensing submitted to us, yeah. So you could submit that licensing to us and get started.
Yeah. Okay.
You got to get Sprint to move with the site meeting with DPW to determine the final route, and then they have to resubmit it next month.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
you're not going to hold up the city. I mean, quite frankly, he's going to get the decision, and he's going to have to make a decision whether or not to contact you, DPW, and say, can we do this? And if it ends up being the street, it could be one of those situations where we're next year, next month, approving something that already went.
Yeah, we could.
Went through because it had to go through because we were paving the street, but.
Mm. EverSource.
Okay. This one is Windsor Street. Yes. Southwesterly from pole 737-43, the intersection of Market Street, a distance of about 140 feet of conduit. This work is necessary to supply power to 243 Broadway.
Morning, Rick Schifoni representing EverSource.
Suzanne, but also Edison.
How's that building being fed now?
Right now, they're fed underground from Broadway with a transformer on the other side of Windsor Street, overhead transformer underground. But now they're asking for more load. So I'm going to feed them from a pole to a manhole on their property and transformers on their property.
Transformer on their property?
Yep.
You can't hit the pole right across the street?
No, the pole across the street is a riser pole.
Yeah.
And that's where we have our low break switch, I think. So we have to go one pole down.
Where's the location? Where are you going to put the transformer?
It's going to be in the manhole. 243 Broadway is an existing building, and there's a little alley in the back. And the manhole is going to go on their property, on the little alley there that they have.
This is, you're going to excavate Broadway, right?
No, we're going to do Windsor Street.
Oh, you're going to excavate that?
From Market.
Oh, yeah. This is
almost to Broadway.
Yeah. I think on being, we will ask you to actually infiltrate the patch.
Mm-hmm.
This is paved. It's going to be 5 years next, in 2 months' time. So I won't
still
ask you to
guarantee street.
Yeah, I won't ask you to mill and overlay curb to curb, but you can infiltrate the patch. So
okay.
Pay spot plus infiltrate the patch.
Okay. So a motion to approve.
Seconded.
With typical conditions and the other conditions just mentioned by Public Works. Infrared patch. Infrared.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Off topic, the requirement now to electronically submit the petitions. Do you still want the plans on 8.5 by 11, or would a C-size or a D-size print be okay? I didn't know if you guys were going to print them out, or are you going to do it all electronically internal?
We don't know that yet, but I think you should assume that we're going to print them out, so the 8.5 by 8.5. And if you think a bigger one makes sense, you can attach both. That's the beauty of it.
Okay.
But we still would require the 8 by 11. 8.5 by 11.
Right,
so
okay.
If we do print it, we can print it. I mean, we can always scale it down, but...
Correct. Yeah, we do have the ability to do 11 by 17s, which is standard in most regular copies, too, because sometimes these long ones get a little bit cumbersome.
Yeah, that's fine, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll let that folks know.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You better. Anything else?
That's it.